sheet, either electronically or picked one up. 2 weeks' time on the 18th, there isn't an evening service because we're having a bring and share lunch. So you're quite all welcome to come to the bring and share lunch after the morning service as well. Don't think there's any notices that will come on. Thank you, Donnie. We haven't actually got a reading tonight because same reason as I didn't have a reading this morning, really, because there just wasn't a passage that came on. That says, faithful is he who calls you. Title for tonight's sermon is Faithful Jesus. Faithful Jesus. And tonight we're actually going to look at a hymn. Now, we've sung one, what we'd call a hymn this evening, you're at the name of Jesus. Five verse or so, and we tend to think of hymns as quite long sometimes. In fact, Wesley used to have 20 plus verses, but that was because people couldn't read, and therefore they couldn't read the Bible to get their doctrine, so they put their doctrine and Bible knowledge into the hymns. And that's where you get to the hymn that it goes on for quite a few verses and then says, talks about, and it's just gone from my mind, about how wonderful it is to worship God. And you get hymns like that. So this one's penned by Paul, but under the guidance of God. And we know it's a hymn because of its introduction. You might want to turn to the passage. We are going to look at this. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. It's on page 1196. Page 1196, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. Right. So we get, he was a trustworthy saint. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. The introduction there gives it away as a hymn, which is the bit here is a trustworthy saying. There are also in the what's called the pastoral letters, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, we have it in 1 Timothy in three places, chapter 1 verse 15, chapter 3 verse 1 and chapter 4 verse 9, and then in Titus chapter 3 verse 8. And it's always introduced, here is a trustworthy saying. Then it goes on. As you can see, it's quite a short hymn. Hymns don't all have to be long, they can be short. And you've just got, this is a faithful saying, if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny, he will also deny us. If we are faithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself or disown, as the New International Version. I want to go through each of those. Friend, they're sort of in doublets together. If we die with him, we will live with him. If we endure, he will also reign with him. If we disown him or deny him, he will disown or deny us. If we're faithless, he is faithful. He remains faithful. In a way, a jar at the end. You expect something different, but we'll get there eventually. First one, if we die with Christ, we will live with him. Same words we find in Romans 6. Where the words are, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life in Christ, being there sort of in brackets, if you like. If we have been united with him like this in his death, when we go through baptism, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we might no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We die to self. In baptism is that outward sign of that going on inside. But it's a wonderful picture of dying to self. Going into the water and then going underneath it as if we were dying into the burial position and then being resurrected to life. This morning we heard about people who were going on starting a baptismal course. Do pray for those people. Pray for that happening. Pray for any others as well who will join that course, that they may know the life with Jesus. When we die with Christ, we then, it says, we live with Christ. And I know no better life than to be with Jesus. I was converted 1 month off being 12. So I've been a Christian about 25 years now. Close. I'm Lou. Sorry? I only have one birthday every 2 years. So that's the thing. But I don't, for ages, I thought, I haven't got the sort of testimony that some people have. You know, they say, I was into drugs, sex, rock and roll, and all those nasty things. And then I was converted. And now look at me. I'm wonderful. You know, I'm in Christ. And I thought, I didn't get old enough to actually indulge in all those things because I was a Christian at 12. So, but then I thought, but that means I've had a longer time with God than a lot of people. And I think it's been tremendous. You know, I live with Jesus. It doesn't just give me life, but life in all its abundance. I know I've been to places that I would never have been to if I hadn't have been a Christian. I've met people who I'd never have met if I hadn't have been a Christian, if I hadn't have been a minister in some of the cases as well. But before I can live with Christ, I also have to die with Christ. I have to allow what my desires, my wants, not to be. They have to die and my old self has to die, and then Christ comes in and gives me a new life. And then the next line says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Being a Christian, as I've said, means at times means it's not always good, but we have to have that endurance, that perseverance, that stickability. At times it will be hard. Hebrews, we read, therefore, since we are surrounded by a greater cloud of witnesses, this is chapter 12, just after the great gallery of people of faith. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Unfortunately, running was never one of my things. But as I take after my mum in that respect, I know that. But if you wound my mum up and if you wind me up and set us in a direction walking, we can go, well, she can't anymore, she's dead, but before she died, she could go for miles. Not very swift, but we would get there. And that's the same thing, we still could endure on that way. Paul, earlier in that letter, the second letter to Timothy, he writes this, he says, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. A hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Three different examples there of people who need to put in training. And sometimes it can be hard. First, there's the soldier. They have to train to be a soldier. They have to build up their endurance, their muscles, be able to survive in certain conditions which we probably wouldn't want. You know, they go north to Scandinavia to get used to cold, and then they go out to the desert to get used to the heat. This afternoon, I happened to catch the end of a program about an Olympic skier that fell out last time. She didn't actually make it, although she was supposed to have come first. I can't remember her name. Ellie, I think her first name was. She's going in for the Olympics this time. Should win, but to become an Olympic athlete, you have to train, and train a lot and put in the hours, the work that goes with that. And then as farmers, problem with farming, it's a bit like being in the ministry. If you don't do the work as a farmer, you don't get the crops, but nobody sees you at work. Nobody sees a minister most of the time at work except on the Sunday morning or evening. But I know, as I had farmers at the last church, sometimes in the winter months when they were tilling the soil, they would all day, every day for quite some time, at least a week, just go up and down in a tractor with a thing on the back. Don't ask me what it was, but all it did was break the soil up. That's why the suicide rate in farmers is quite high, believe it or not, because they get depressed and lonely, because all they're doing all day is going up and down in a tractor all day long. But nobody sees that, really. But they're all working hard, and they have to work hard to get the crops to grow. So all of that has to be endured, to have endurance, to have perseverance. But we will reign with Jesus in heaven. That's the promise we get. The suffering, in effect, is a small part of our lives for the rewards that we get. And he goes on, if we disown him, he will also disown us. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Statement seems reasonable. If we reject God, we reject Jesus, God the Son, then he'll reject us, he'll disown us. Now, Jesus did come to earth to save all. John 3:16, everybody's well-known verse, for God so loved the world that everybody knows this verse, don't they? It's almost as bad as as other things. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In some respects, that verse is inclusive, totally, of everyone. In other ways, it's actually totally exclusive. Because it's inclusive, because it says anyone, or whoever believes, or whoever is inclusive. So anyone can follow Christ. There's no barriers, not race, culture, creed, disability, gender, intelligence, even whether you can roll your tongue up at the edges or not, blue eyes, brown eyes, whatever. There is no barrier to becoming a Christian. But it's also totally exclusive, because unless you believe, then God won't accept you, because you've rejected him. And if you read through the Gospels, Jesus rejected certain people. Think of the Pharisees. He was always talking against the Pharisees, but he did have one Pharisee who came and who followed him, Nicodemus. So he wasn't condemning a group. But many times individuals will just deny that there's a God, deny that Jesus has come and what he's done. And so God, it says, will reject him. But if people accept Jesus and follow him, then God accepts them. Then we have the one that says, if we are faithless, he, i.e. Jesus, remains faithful. Sadly, we're not always faithful. We are too often faithless. Even as Christians, at times we can wonder, is there really a God there? Why is all this bad stuff happening to me? I think I'll give God a miss for a while. We sin. We doubt. We are faithless at times. It could be over something large, but often it's over something quite small. Sometimes I believe in everything, other times I don't. One of the things that I know I and a friend of mine have struggled with is the phrase, last couple of years, the phrase, God is my all in all. My friend is watching her husband die at the moment. He's been given months to live. And the same with Sue. Usually the people who say, God is my all in all, they're married with children, everything's going well and happy. But it's when you lose something very dear and you think, is God my all in all? Or do I want a bit left for that person that God gave? Difficult. Life isn't always easy. But we may be faithless at times, but Jesus is faithful. Why is Jesus faithful? Because, as it says at the end there, we are faithless. He remains faithful because he cannot disown or deny himself. God cannot be what he isn't. Jesus cannot be what he isn't. Therefore, Jesus can never be faithless. He always has to be faithful. Yes, we disown God. Whoever acknowledges me before men and women, I will also acknowledge him and her before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown them before my Father's throne. But Jesus is faithful. That's human beings. Yes, if we reject God, then we are rejected. But when I sin, he's still faithful to me. As it says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Only a faithful Jesus can be depended upon. Only a faithful Jesus will actually accept us who we are. Because we're fickle. We're not true to ourselves. You know, in some households, I've been in quite a few over the years. Members of the family gauge what happens when one of the household wakes up and comes down in the morning. Whether they're going to have a good day or whether they're going to have a bad day because of the mood of the one person within that household. God, Jesus, is never like that. He's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is always faithful. Paul, writing to the church of God at Thessalonica, says, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men. For not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. When we witness for God, God is faithful, Jesus is faithful, to protect us and strengthen us against the evil one. But not all will come to faith. I'm very cognizant of this parable. Parable of the sower, where there's four different types of soil. First one is a path trodden, the seed never goes in, so the birds come along and just whip the seed away. So there's no growth, there's no nothing. The person just walks away the same as when they got there. You then, top right, have the one that falls on the rock. Yes, they're all enthusiastic and they come up, but then things start to go not right. And they start to wither. And they think, no, this Christianity is not for me. The one on the weeds, bottom left, is that the cares of this world, if they impinge and they take over and they start to worry about them. And so again, they leave Christianity behind. The good soil, yes, then reproduces itself. As it says, so many fold. But that says to me, if on its crudest level, if I go out and talk to four people, only one in four of them will actually become a Christian and stick. Three in four will get converted, perhaps, say they are, but two of them will then drop off. They will become faithless. But in all of that, God, Jesus, is still faithful. When we do go out and when we do talk to others about Jesus, he is faithful and he will be with us. Faithful is he who calls you, who calls us. That's faithful Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that we are so often faithless. So often we can almost be like Peter, who on the night that you were betrayed, he disowned you and said, oh no, I don't know him. You must have been, have me mistaken for the wrong person. But Lord, you stuck with Peter. Yes, Lord, you gave him that glance on that night and he realized as he heard the sound of the cockerel crowing what he had done. But then later on, you had that talk with him and he saw that you were faithful to him and that you wanted him to carry on the task that you had given him, even though he had let you down, that you have that forgiveness because you are faithful. Jesus, you are a faithful God, always ready to forgive. Lord, help us to be more like you, to be faithful and not faithless. To be faithful so that we can hear you then say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have such a picture of faithfulness in you in the scriptures as you came to do the will of your Father. Help us to join you to do the will of the Father as well. Amen. So let's sing once again.